Welcome to Executive Tools, the bucket system for compensation decisions. This cast answers these questions. What is the bucket system for determining compensation? How can I decide how to determine compensation levels in my organization? How can I differently reward my people in compensation? So if you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Here we go.
Do you want to operate at a more strategic level? Our Effective Executive Conference will teach you how to navigate organizational politics, predict future organizational needs, and run a session C. Best yet, you're going to be connected with a cohort of executives and will receive 6 months' worth of group calls after the event to build a strong executive network. Learn with like-minded executives ready to lead with clarity and purpose. Register today by visiting us at manager-tools.com/executive skills.
So, Mark, we're talking about compensation today.
Yes. By the way, apologies. We should have done this, you know, Q3. And we just had a bunch of stuff to get out there that we had promised people. So
put a link to this in your to-do end of the year. But in the beginning of our careers, our compensation is determined by our bosses. But usually the process by which those bosses get guidance on how to do it is just, it's a black box. We don't understand it.
You know, I don't think we talk enough about the curse of knowledge, which I've mentioned several times, where the moment you learn something, you forget you ever didn't know it. And you assume mistakenly that other people know it too. And so the stuff that people are like looking at 20-year-olds about and complaining, or 22-year-olds, you know, fresh college graduates or high school graduates, whatever, and these kids these days, they don't realize they didn't know any of the things these kids did either.
That's right.
They didn't. And it's frustrating. I think I've told you before that I paid $2,000 for a New York Times clipping from an actual New York Times newspaper that was printed in 1897, a letter to the editor saying how the young men of today are entitled and spoiled, and they expect to come in late and leave early and take a long lunch and have martinis and so on. I'm like, that was over 100 years ago. Well, I've since gotten an Instagram post that I'm going to put in Things We Think of that same theme in the 1890s, 17, 14th century, 3rd century. Same thing, same exact thing. And in this case, people don't know. And what happens is, it's just like you're in a meeting and then suddenly they promote you to run a meeting and nobody ever taught you how to run a meeting because the guy who was running the meeting before learned on his own. And so therefore you should learn your own, which is really, really dumb. If that were the case, if we should all do the same things, learn the same way everybody learned before, we might as well be using rotary phones because, you know, why would we want to get better? Why would we want to get faster? Virtually every system, people receive it, and then somehow managers and executives assume they understand it because they received it. It's like, because I've been a passenger on a plane, I should be able to fly the plane, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And compensation, and the problem with compensation is it's emotional. People mistakenly value themselves and worry about how other people value them through salary. And so this, we're going over this wheel. Oh, we've been doing it for 40 years now. You and I have talked about this numerous times where performance reviews and salary communications can be difficult at times and people aren't willing to talk about it. People at the bottom don't know what the heck's going on and bosses do a poor job of communicating. It's terrible. Yeah. Sorry, Gunna.
You said something that really triggered a thought in my head about feedback. Now we're not, this is not about, our show is obviously not about feedback, but talk about once as a manager executive, once you realize that this knowledge gap, this experience gap, that these people are no more, they're probably brighter and smarter than you are. They just don't have the experience. And once you make that realization and you take the next step to kind of realize the implication of that, which is you have to teach them, you have to coach them, you have to guide them, you have to give feedback. Well, then feedback becomes a very, very different thing. It's not about correcting poor performance. It's about future behavior, future performance.
Yeah.
It's a really powerful shift to make.
Actually, it's interesting. Negative feedback actually reduces error. It makes the range of behaviors narrower. that's a fundamental principle of negative or positive feedback actually increases the variability.
Yeah,
you assume it's in the right direction, but negative feedback narrows it. Yeah, I would agree. And you mentioned feedback and pay, compensation systems, but I would say that many, many people on the receiving end of a performance review and a compensation discussion would think they're getting feedback.
Oh,
right?
Right. Not in the managed tools model, but yeah, they think they're getting. Yeah.
That in many cases, it is their feedback, right?
Many organizations, it's the only feedback. The
only feedback. Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Unbelievable.
Okay. So we're going to talk about the bucket system, which is kind of how it's done in most organizations, right?
Yeah. It's not, I mean, and it sounds so mundane, so prosaic, the bucket system.
I can't believe you didn't come up with a better phrase.
Yeah, exactly. But let me tell you, everybody, well, lots of people know it. And if you don't know it, now you're going to know it. And it is, in my opinion, it's elegant. It's like Archimedes. Wasn't it Archimedes who said, give me a lever and a place to stand and I can move the earth? I mean, it's so. Nothing. It's nothing more than a fulcrum, right? And that's a pretty prosaic thing. And yet it is, and can be incredibly powerful. Same thing with the bucket system. Okay. So now this is executive tools. So we're talking to executives. And you're going to start getting exposed to more broad decisions on compensation. There's all kinds of compensation and flavors of compensation and depth and breadth of compensation when you get to the executive level. But generally speaking, for the very top executives in an organization, maybe the top 50 or so, there is an even smaller, maybe 5 or 7 senior group that determines not just their salary increases, but also performance bonuses and equity can be stock and restricted stock and so on, long-term incentives, deferred compensation, so that people don't have to take a big bump right now and then pay a bunch of taxes on it. And, you know, company cars and the jet and club memberships and so on. I think last year we had one of Manager Tools Community's good friends, chief executive, be granted the use of a jet. And he was very excited about that and correctly used it to fly to all of his facilities all across North America. And for the record, when we're talking about stuff at executive level, you're thinking this call is about this cast is about executive compensation and all of its various flavors. And we're going to recommend percentages and so on. We're not going to do that. We're going to talk about the simplest thing, which is the bucket system, which is how the compensation system is applied broadly across the entire organization. But you need to know that as an executive so that you can, as Mike was talking about earlier, so you can teach your people how this stuff works so they can start learning now. Okay. And in the middle of the organization, where I suspect many of our listeners are, more junior executives or even people who aren't executives but senior managers or what have you are usually giving an amount, typically a percentage, that is an increase over what the previous salary level was. And that percentage is supposed to be applied differentially to reward people based on their performance. And it's called the bucket system because you get a bucket, okay? And it's basically a way to communicate, to determine and to communicate salary increases. And in some cases, bonuses. Sometimes you get two buckets, a bonus of percentage for salary increases and a bucket for usually of cash for one-time bonuses. So, okay, having said all that, what's our outline? We've got 3 rules you got to keep in mind when it comes to the bucket system. And there'll be more rules when we get into more stuff about compensation. I've been holding off on doing stuff about compensation because companies have gotten, it's become more variegated. It's become more, it's not as simple to understand. And basically when you get to the executive level, it's flavor of the month everywhere. Or no, it's not flavor of the month. It's just so different everywhere that
right.
there are no easy ways to teach fundamental principles about it. But we do have a couple of fundamental principles that I think most people don't know because of our earlier point about how people are served a system in compensation by being given a raise or a bonus or not a raise or whatever at the very beginning. And there's an assumption that because you've been paid, therefore you understand the pay system, which is ludicrous. I've never heard of a single manager ever telling me that their HR business partner wanted to sit down with them before their first set of performance reviews and go over how the compensation system works and what they need to do. If that has happened to you, I really want you to send me an email and say, yes, Mark, it has happened. And
there is hope.
Then you can be the unicorn. So rule number one, when it comes to compensation, it requires two factors, corporate performance and personal performance. Not one, not the other, both. Rule number two, you get a bucket for salary increases. And rule number three, you're supposed to apply that bucket differentially based on performance. And that's it. And I think 95% of the people who are listening right now can hear those things and go, oh, I get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand. And that's all you need to know. And if you're ID and you want to stop listening, happy new year and hope to see you in a couple of weeks when we do this again. All right. So let's go through the rules. Rule number one, corporate and personal performance. This is an important managerial and executive communication topic. And the reason this is an exec tools cast and not a manager's cast is because we think executives have an obligation to communicate and educate and train about this stuff. It doesn't take more than 5 minutes so that your managers beneath you, your subordinate managers, can be good at doing their part of this fundamentally important organizational system.
My thought is that of the three things you described, this is the one that more people would have a problem with. Because they
really
want to take, yeah, because Mary worked really hard, had a lot of impact, and deserves a 15% raise.
Yeah.
Right? When the company grew at a rate of like 1%.
Minus 1%. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And actually, rule number one, corporate and personal performance, both. This is actually a more general rule than the bucket system when it comes to making compensation decisions. And the bucket system sits underneath that. So we wanted to cover this one first. Folks, you got to remember that compensation decisions are the result of two different factors. The organization's success and the individual's performance. And your point about, I want a 15% raise for my guy, Roberto. Many mid-level managers and junior executives forget this when they're fighting for increases for individuals after a year of poor performance by the organization. Okay. Look, folks, I want to explain the organization and individual part of this. The organization has to fund the increases. This is why when people complain about profit, it's like, you know, the profit that companies get, that pays for salary increases. And then suddenly people are like, oh, I'm all for profit. No, I'm way into it now. As long as I get my piece. Okay. The organization has to fund the increases. An organization and this is tautological, of course, but an organization which routinely increases salaries because of pressure or feeling like they have retention issues, but which also underperforms in the marketplace, putting itself in a super dangerous position, right? You're increasing your cost to do business because compensation is always, virtually always, the single largest item of any organization's cost, while not increasing the revenue it will need to fund that increase in salary. I hate to say it, but this is one of the reasons why cost of living increases, often in governmental organizations, and they're legislated, of course, and also union contracts, which mandate year-over-year increases for several years, can be antithetical to the effectiveness of an organization. You can literally decide in this year, in 2026, that for the next 3 years, we're going to get 3% raises across the board. And if the company does not do well, you're literally abandoning your fiduciary / long-term responsibility to the future of the organization, to the growth of the organization, because you're undercutting it, right? Now, look, we're not saying here, relative to those kinds of increases, that salaries and increases and so on aren't an important part of retention. But the company that largely relies on salary increases, as many, many companies do, as a retention tool, can again put itself in some pretty dangerous territory. In our opinions, as champions of the manager, and by that we include executives, this reliance on salary increases causes the organization and its managers, I've seen this almost everywhere I go. What happens when you think of bonuses and salaries as your retention weapons, you stop engaging in the manager relationships that build trust, and you don't create the strong relationships that will bind an organization far more effectively than money. Okay. If all you're going to do is bid for people, then they're always on the market. And all it takes is somebody bidding a little bit more. I had somebody tell me once the raise was only 1% greater, but I didn't really care about my boss. I didn't really care about the company. And I was 5 miles, the company headquarters were 5 miles closer to home. That's what happens if you don't actually have a relationship, that it's just warfare over a dollar. And look, let me say something else about compensation. That's why I did rule number one, because there's some higher level stuff above the bucket system. The bucket system is a very mechanical part of the delivery of compensation decisions, but there are some overarching things we haven't talked about. I think we've alluded to all these things over the years in manager tools and maybe even exec tools, but I wanted to get them out now. Most people don't know this, but compensation, despite all the coverage it gets, because it's measurable, because it's a number, that's why it gets so much coverage, guys. All that coverage, and it gets a lot of coverage during weaker economic times and when there are inflationary pressures and so on. Compensation, according to all compensation experts and anybody who studies organizational theory and design and structure and so on, compensation is what is known as a hygiene factor. Compensation is not considered a powerful retention tool, except at the very, very top of organizations, thanks to something like golden handcuffs. And that, what happens there, is largely due to competitive hiring forces. Hygiene factors are those things that are necessary, like clean facilities, thus hygiene. You can't have a filthy office and expect people to like coming to work there, but they're not dispositive. And we use dispositive here to mean something that will win the argument. By itself, it can eliminate or dispose of other choices. So compensation is not the fight to have when it comes to retention. Retention comes from trust and relationships and communication and so on. And yes, compensation does play a role, but it's not as significant a role as most people think. Now, imagine making a fundamental managerial executive leadership decision based on something that isn't that important and putting all your eggs in that basket. It's just it's mind-boggling. See it all the time. Very, very frustrating. Yeah, so in other words, to rely excessively on compensation is a losing retention strategy. Once hygiene factors meet a satisfactory standard, has to come from day-to-day managerial behaviors. Those behaviors are the things we've been teaching for years: one-on-ones, feedback, coaching, delegation, and of course, there's a whole hundreds of others, right? Building trusting relationships with your people will go much further than compensation in the battle of retention. Please learn this now. And if you're an executive, remember all this. And remind your people periodically that it takes both individual and corporate performance to fund and earn the raises that people want. It's been 15 years ago now. I had a friend. His daughter was over at my house, and she was complaining about how strict her parents were. They were not as strict as I was, but strictness. And I was commiserating, but also saying, sorry, you wouldn't want to be my kid, because I'd be even stricter.
Yeah. I'm the last person you need to talk to about that.
And I happened to mention it to my friend, and my friend said this. He said, you know, she says her dream in life is to be a soccer player on a D1 team. I actually think she went to North Carolina. This is several years ago. She would have long since graduated. She may not have played, I don't know. But North Carolina at the time, as I remember, had like one of the top five, if not the number one, women's soccer team in America. And he said she wants to be a D1 soccer player. And then she wants to have all the fun she wants to have in high school. I'm not sure she can get into the school she wants to go to with her grades. So we're really hard on her grades. And we're really hard on her practices. Although we're not one of those people that insist on traveling teams and three other coaches that we pay for that impoverish us and so on. Now, this was in Pebble Beach and they could probably afford it, but nevertheless. And he said, she doesn't understand that you have to do things now to get things later. She doesn't understand that discipline now pays dividends later. She doesn't understand that frugality now makes for wealth later. And they said, we're going to continue being strict on her And she won't know it, but it will be at least in part our strictness that help her achieve her dreams. And she will say that she achieved her dreams and will let her, as loving parents do. But no, you have to be willing to do the hard things day to day, week to week. If you're going to just base your retention on how much a raise you can get, and somebody really needs a raise and they told their spouse they need a raise and they're going to get a raise because they killed it this year, and then your company did poorly and you haven't educated them on that, you're going to lose that person and it's going to be your fault.
Right. Well, surely everybody listening to this podcast is engaging in the Manager Tools Trinity each and every day, bit by bit, and they've got this problem solved. That part of the problem. One hopes.
Yeah. Even though hope is not a method.
But it's eternal. So.
Yeah. Yes, it is eternal. Yes. Good.
Are you looking for an easy way to strengthen the leaders beneath you? The Manager Tools and Career Tools licenses allow your managers to learn proven behaviors anytime. Build the capability you need throughout your entire organization. Learn more by visiting us online at manager-tools.com/licenses.
Now let's get to rule number two. You get a bucket for salary increases. The way the bucket system works, folks, is super easy. For those of you who know it, we're probably going to only mention one twist to it that I've seen many times over the years. Okay. So it's easy to understand, it's easy to action, and then all I would say is even though it's easy to action, most managers in my experience make poor choices when they're faced with it. What happens is that the organization, the senior leadership, CEO, COO, board, and so on, determines what the performance of the overall company allows it to reasonably fund for compensation increases in the coming year. Typically, that funding is stated in the form of percentage. And typically, it would sound like this. You have a 3% bucket. What that means is that you can increase the total of all the salaries in your organization, whether it is 10 people or 100 people or more, by no more than 3%. Okay. By the way, I have had a couple of executives over the years say, hey, the corporate number is 3%, but I don't feel my group contributed as much as possible. And so I'm going to limit mine to 2.5%. I thought it was a very gutsy professional call. Luckily for him, and of course the rumor got out. It always gets out. Everybody learns pretty quickly what the bucket is. And so they're going to measure themselves about whether they're at or above or below the bucket. We'll get into differentially rewarding people here in a minute. And people were like, why is it less? And he talked to him. He said, this is why it's less. Because we did not do as much as we said we're going to do. The company did great overall. A couple of other divisions did well. We didn't deliver the way we should. And so I'm going to give some of that money back to the company. Yeah.
That's gutsy. Yeah, hopefully when they do well, he can go back and get more than the 3%.
Yeah, there are cases. When you do that. Yeah. Okay. Far too many managers at this point, okay, make a huge mistake. And I actually think they know better deep down inside, but I'm going to pretend they don't. And they mistakenly assume, I just did Joey air quotes for those of you who've been around for 20 years, they mistakenly assume that this means that everyone gets a 3% raise. Now, this is certainly easier for the manager, the director, the junior executive. Everyone gets the same amount. Everyone is equally happy or satisfied.
Mm. That probably doesn't work really well.
You know, it doesn't. And folks, that is not why you were given a 3% bucket. There are very few times that I put bold in the show notes and an exclamation point, but in this case, I did. You do not get to assume that everybody gets 3% and your fingerprints will not be on the murder weapon because everybody's going to get the same amount and nobody can complain. That is not why you were given a 3% bucket.
By the way, I've been in my career completely surprised by how frequently you see this just flat across the board.
This is the common mistake. It's probably done in 60% of the cases, if not more.
I was very differential. I differentially applied raises. Well, this is 20-something years ago, and the looks I got from people in my organization and people, my peers.
Peers, yeah. What are you doing? I was
crazy.
How do you have that conversation with a low performer? Well, I tell them they underperformed. Yeah. And by the way, if I tell them they underperform, maybe they'll go to work somewhere else. Actually, maybe they'll go to work for a competitor. I don't know. Yeah. So there are people who told me, oh, I mistakenly assumed that it was just my job to say 3% to everybody. And I think deep down inside, they know darn well, even if they've never been educated on it, never been trained, never been taught, never had a class, never talked to HR, never talked to compensation guys, whatever. They know deep down inside they're supposed to be doing it differently. Oh, yeah, they do. Oh, and they're waiting for their boss.
It's harder to have to figure out the rest of it.
Oh, yeah, okay. Harder. Yeah. Yeah, well, somebody on one of our channels, I think it might have been in the Effective Executive cohort Slack or on whatever email chain, somebody said, go look up the YouTube video, Handle Hard Better, that Duke women's basketball coach talking about people wanting it to get easier. The way I used to say it was, do not wish for things to be easier. Pray for the strength to become better. And now what I say is handle hard better and point people at that video. It's a common thing. And then they say, I didn't know. While at the same time, hoping that they'll be differentially rewarded
exactly.
by their boss.
Exactly.
Which is just cognitive
dissonance.
Yeah, amazing. The purpose of the bucket is to give you a total amount. And the correct assumption is that you will apply that bucket differentially across your organization based on individual performances. The organization has decided it can fund 3%, but you, Mr. Ms. Manager, Junior Executive, are supposed to determine who made more or less of a contribution to that 3% funding and give different raises based on individual performance. I mean, it should be obvious that the organization doesn't have the level of information that you do about the relative performance of your people. That's why the organization gives subordinate managers, you, the ability to differentially disperse the bucket. They couldn't do it from the top to recognize your top performers or differentially under-reward your weaker performers. That's left to you. And it's done on a matter of trust. If you go 3% across the board, if that were found out at higher levels, that would be a mark against you and your ability to get promoted. No question. Like, what is this person? And by the way, who is their boss and why have they not talked to them? In fact, if that happened and somebody above found out, they would assume that the boss never knew, therefore not providing enough oversight, and therefore didn't train either. And they would be, I think the people at the top would be worried about the boss, not the manager who actually gave across the board raises of the same amount. They'd be worried about the boss. How could you let that happen? Where was the conversation between you and that person? So to put it as simply as possible, when you're given, as the example, a 3% bucket, it is your job to determine who among your people should get a 5% raise and who only deserves a 1% raise. Now, obviously, I'm oversimplifying that just to make the point about your responsibility in differentially applying the overall bucket. You might choose 2 and 4. There might be people getting 0. There might be people getting 6. That's fine. Remember, if you have a 3% overall, you've got to be careful about what the total dollars are. You have to do the math afterwards, make sure. Okay.
Okay.
That's what the bucket system is. And you have to sit down and think about your people and make decisions about who's best, who's average, who's below average, and how you intend to reward them.
Okay. So let's talk specifically about applying this bucket differentially.
Sure. So the whole point of the bucket system is to separate the company's obligation and decision to fund organization-wise compensation increases from the individual manager's responsibility to differentially apply the funding based on performance. That's why it exists. The manager who does what we mentioned above, spreads it out equally across her organization, is not meeting her responsibilities in a fundamental organizational system. Full stop. If you're a frontline manager, you'll take that 3% and make decisions about who on your team deserves, say, a 5% raise and who, again, deserves maybe a 1% raise. In fact, in some cases, it's usually pretty rare, but it could happen that you might choose to give one or two of your team a 0% raise because of their poor performance. You might choose to give them a small bonus to take the sting out of it. That wouldn't be a bad thing. Now, we've alluded to this a couple of times. That 0% raise conversation is a tough one. It is much easier. I think you actually said that earlier, Mike. You said, yeah, it's easier to give everyone something. And by the way, folks, if you're thinking right now, okay, I get it. I got it differentially. So what I'll do is I'll do 4 and 3 and 2. And that way there's not too, you know, it's not too big a deal. Or to 3.5, 3 and 2.5. You're missing it, folks. You're missing it. But you're literally thinking about yourself and how you can make it easy rather than doing what the organization wants. And in fact, what the organization wants is for you to spread the field. They would be happy with you giving 10% to one person and 0 to 3, if in fact that's what their performance, their level of contribution justifies.
I've done that. Works just fine.
Yes, it works just fine, as long as you're willing to have the hard conversation. And by the way, who is it we really want to retain? Who is it we really want to have a happy conversation with? Our top performer. So it's much easier to give everybody a little bit, right? But again, it's not meeting your responsibilities. Many managers have failed, and as we alluded to, it's an epidemic, to give the necessary daily and weekly feedback to their team members to allow them to allow that someone is not getting a raise at all. And if you don't give them any negative feedback throughout the year, you don't have measures put in place, and then you give somebody a 0% raise, they're going to lose their mind. They're going to say, I know other people are getting more. Why? Why? And that's your job, and that's your fault, and you blew it because you don't understand the bucket system, and you don't understand that one of the great things about the bucket system is it increases your likelihood of engaging in the right daily and weekly behavior. Okay, so when managers don't do what they're supposed to do throughout the year, they give everybody the same amount. But here's the thing we haven't been talking about. The problem this creates is a much bigger one than the manager having to have a tough compensation discussion at performance review time with a lower performer. Okay. The problem it creates is stealing funding for rewarding your top performers, a la Mike's example of giving one person 10%. If everybody gets something, let alone if everyone gets the same, heaven forbid, there is less money in the bucket to give your top performers. And believe me, that is not how executive compensation works at the very highest levels. They spread the field enormously. If you meet your goals, you probably get a reasonable raise. If you exceed your goals or exceed your goals by a lot, you get a massive raise and a bonus and stock warrants and all kinds of other things as well.
Yeah, by the way, also the problem with giving 5%, 4%, 3%, and your worst performers obviously get the 3%. If you think you're sending a message by differentially giving raises of 5, 4, and 3%, the people at the bottom are not getting the message.
No, they're definitely not. We all did well. We all deserved an increase. Some people deserve a little more. That's fine. Now, I would mention, just in case, Mike mentioned 5, 4, and 3. You could only do that, if those were your numbers, if your bucket were 4%. Okay, just be clear about that, right? Because you wouldn't get a bucket of 3% and then give raises of 5, 4, and 3 because you would run out of
it. Well, the math has to add up.
It has to add up. And you have to do the math, as we'll mention in a minute. Look, this is a tactical mistake with strategic implications. Because now the top performers, who always know they're your top performers, understand that they're getting less just because the manager wasn't willing to do what he was supposed to do. And they're going to go look for a different manager. Maybe if you're lucky inside the organization, but it'll still be a mark against you. And this effect on your top performers is insidious. After having what you and they both know is a great year, to feel they're getting less simply because others must get something will turn off many top performers. It is not that they would deny other people getting a raise. It is that they understand that compensation is differentially applied and they're not getting an amount commensurate with their performance. The manager who avoids having tough conversations to placate a low performer increases his retention risk among his top performers. I got to tell you, you take care of your bottom performers and you lose your top performers, pretty soon you'll have nothing but bottom performers. Pretty soon you won't be a manager or an executive anymore. Look, guys, the manager lesson day to day here is you want to reward your top performers fairly. And that's what it is, fairness, by the way. If you want to do that, you have to do the hard work throughout the year of justifying in advance the lower compensation your weaker performers will get. Now, there's another level involved here, and I don't want to mess people up, but I've seen it happen when people get promoted to senior director or VP and they have to deal with it. What about the senior manager or director or vice president who has a 3% bucket, but has to apply it across multiple managers and levels? In the previous examples, we were basically talking about how one manager distributes the bucket across his or her team of directs. You could think of that as a frontline manager, right? But when you're an executive, if you've got to apply it across multiple managers and multiple levels, it's different. In this case, listen up now. The bucket can be broken down differentially among managers and departments. So we'll use the simplest example of senior manager. If you have five managers beneath you on the org chart, it is also your job to differentially apply the 3% overall bucket among your managers. What I'm talking about there is not just what your managers are going to get for their salary increase, but how big their bucket is to dole out to their people. Perhaps your top manager will get a 4% bucket for his entire organization, and a lesser performing manager will get a 2% bucket. They then will apply that bucket to their people, with the lesser performing manager having only 2% to disperse and the better one having 4% to disperse. By the way, we haven't said it, but you can also do half percentages and you can cut it more finely if you want, but it gets to be, we're talking about making a difference of, you know, $100 a year or something like that. It becomes de minimis and not worth the effort you're going to be doing to make a difference. Now, look, when you do this, when you start applying the bucket differently to organizations, you'll have to, because think about it. Let's suppose for a second, you got three groups and they're all equal, but one group literally did everything right and basically was the engine that drove all the success of your three departments that you are the senior manager of. And the other two didn't meet their goals. It could be entirely reasonable for that group to get a 4% increase and everybody else to get a 1% increase.
Yep.
Totally fine. And if I'm the manager that gets the 1%, I recognize what that means. And I'm going to find out soon enough that Mike, my peer, got a 4% bucket and all of his people are getting bigger raises than us because they did more and got more, delivered more, because that's what funds the raises is organizational success. Now, you're going to have to consider the sizes of the various teams to do this. This doesn't apply when you're doing it individually. It can apply individually because of differential base salaries, but it makes even more of an issue when you're applying it across organizations. Because if your best manager, who gets the 4% bucket among his team, has a much bigger team, that 4% taken out of your 3% may mean you'll have to consider that. One sub-manager with 50 people starting with a 4% cap will throw off your ability to limit your overall increases to 3% if the less effective manager only has 10 people. So you have to keep track of their staying within their buckets and not have the better, larger teamed manager spending too much so that the smaller team manager, less effective manager, won't be able to get your total bucket, hold your total bucket to 3%. But that's math, and it's basic math, and I assume most of you did not go to University of California in San Diego a few years ago and not learn basic math. So
yeah, and there's a lot here. We could spend an entire podcast talking about this differential, yes, you know, application across organizations. You need to have your stuff together to make this work. But when you're there and you can do it, come this kind of voodoo level stuff, it is amazing what can happen.
Yeah. In fact, we'll just give you an off the cuff suggestion. Okay. We're talking about the system. We can assure you folks, both Mike and I, if we had a 5% bucket, there would be people on our team that got 10% and people on our team who got 0 or 1%. I'm going to stretch it out as far as I possibly can. We talk about in interviewing, if it's a bell curve, we want to spread the field as much as possible to sharply show the difference between the person who meets the criteria and doesn't. We want to make the interviewing process challenging so that the best person wins and wins convincingly. And we want the same thing in compensation. We want a really wide bell curve so there's a notable difference between my top performer and number two. And maybe a bit of a less of a difference between number two and number three. But number one or number one and two, if I have a couple of superstars, they're going to know that they are being treated differently. And yes, we still have to have a conversation with somebody and say, I'm sorry, you're only getting a 0.5% raise. And if they ask me and they say, are other people getting different amounts? I would say two things. First of all, other people's amounts are confidential. But since you're asking the systemic question, yes, other people are getting different amounts based on performance. You did not have a good performance year. Here were your metrics. Here's where you didn't meet them. And there are others who did meet their metrics. And so they're being rewarded differently than you. It's a tough conversation, but that's your job.
Let me ask you a question. Sure. We didn't really talk about this dimension or making these decisions. How do I rationalize, or what do I do in a situation where my best performer, the contribution that they make to their overall success of the organization is less than my very good performer who's in a different role? For example, I have a maintenance person. Perfect. This guy's great.
Yeah.
And I have a salesperson who's very good. The salesperson actually contributed millions to the bottom line. The maintenance person, not so much, but it's just based upon the role. Is that a factor when deciding?
Yeah, it usually is. And look, we're talking today about the bucket system, and in the years ahead, we'll talk more about compensation and what various factors you can consider and so on. Maybe give people some rubrics and some frameworks to think about performance and contribution, as you say. My experience has always been that if I have two very good performers and I'm going to differentiate them, I'm going to differentiate in the favor of contribution. My experience has been that the perception of contribution and performance is pretty much the same thing at the very, very top. And so they want to reward people who contribute the most. Now, there are people who say, no, that's not what I want to do. I don't see it that way. I see myself as a citizen of the leadership of the organization. And I know the leadership of the organization thinks, when it comes to individual performance, about contribution. So I've always leaned that way. I don't think there's a right answer. I think it does depend in part on your corporate culture. And to some degree, it's affected by the fact that I was in the sales organization of Procter & Gamble, which, you know, we felt like we contributed an awful lot. Yeah,
you should get all the money.
Yeah. I will also say I have seen that solved by the contribution person getting more of a raise and the performance person who contributes less gets a bonus, because a bonus is a one-time thing and it doesn't create long-term stress. And that person who had great performance but doesn't contribute as much shouldn't become a burden to the company by massive salary increases to the point where they're essentially priced out of the marketplace if they're not contributing as much as somebody else. There are some other things too, though. Since you brought it up, I'll mention some other things. I mean, I think you have to look at history, compensation history in the previous years and performance and so on. I also think, and I assume you wrap this into your question, I think it's a good question. I've always included ease of manageability, relationships, and communication. And I'll give you an example. Maggie on our team, she's the longest, I think it's her, longest history employee we have, 20 years now, I think. And Maggie is the easiest person I've ever managed in my life. Now, we all have strengths and weaknesses and so on and foibles, and I'm sure she would tell you all the things she didn't like about me as a boss. But yeah, I put stock in that. Other people don't. And that's okay, because it gets really, really squishy when you get down to the actual details about why a person is good and isn't good.
Yeah, so there's a lot we haven't talked about here. Like, we don't have days to talk about it. And you could talk about it for days.
Yeah, I could. It's actually fun. And I think all of this would be solved and you wouldn't need any podcasts from any company to teach you how to do it if your company taught you more and you did more of the day-to-day managerial behavior so that you could sustain a conversation both for your top performer and your bottom performer, because they knew what was coming and it was not a surprise.
There you go.
Yeah, so let me just summarize. Hopefully that helps you understand how the bucket system works, folks. The organization's responsibility is to fund increases reasonably based on overall corporate or organizational performance. Each manager determines individual raises differentially when it's done right. Not that that's the way it's normally done. please don't be that manager that doesn't do his hard work throughout the year and then caves on his responsibility to differentially apply the bucket. Fear of a difficult conversation isn't an excuse to harm your retention capability for your top performers or steal their sense of accomplishment because you didn't understand the system or do your job in supporting it.
Well said.
Yeah. Hooah.
All right, my friend. Time for me to go. So, apparently, Alex is getting ready to have his child, and I'll be a grandfather once again here. So.
All best wishes to Alex and Alan.
Off to the hospital I go.
Okay.
All right, my friend.
See ya.
Thank you, everybody. So long.